is a song from our youth. When Patty and I grew up in church, the song is More, So Much More. And our youth leader was also the music director at the church. So if you were going to be in the youth group, you were also going to be in the youth choir. Well, guess what? Our youth minister and his wife live exactly 5 minutes away from us in Lubbock. I'm going to have as much fun irritating them as I did when I was a youth. Oh, mercy. Well, call me. Put it on speaker. Appreciate having Mark and Sherry here. Met Mark over 50 years ago, and we've been friends and family ever since. I also saw a young lady slip in, Christy Davis, and her two boys, her and her two sisters. When they were born, their folks and us, who we had Kevin, and nobody knew this, but we had both said if anything happens to both of us, then they were going to take Kevin if we were gone, and we were going to take Jenny and Christy and Heather. So anyway, Christy, God bless you and thank you for being here. Beautiful Christian lady. Well, when I was in seminary, I was made aware of a commentary series written by Warren Wiersbe called the B Series. He was the pastor of the Moody Bible Church in Chicago and ultimately the president of the Moody Bible Institute. And there were only a few of the New Testament books that he had written commentary on. But since then, he's written a B commentary on every book of the Bible. And while I was sitting around drinking coffee before seminary, when you first go to seminary, you go to chapel. And then you find out that those seminary professors couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper sack. And so you find something more redeeming to do, and that is you go to the student center and drink coffee. And all of us preachers would lie about how great we were last Sunday and, you know, how many people we had. I always told them it was under 1,000. I've been exaggerating all my ministry and all my life. But we started debating about what the Old Testament books would be called. For Genesis, we said, be created. Okay? For Exodus, we said, be gone. So, since today is my last Sunday as your pastor, I want to offer my farewell sermon based on the farewell that Paul gave to the church, the leaders from the church at Ephesus. Now, don't for 1 minute assume that I am equating myself to the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary of all time, and Mark and Sherry will both agree with that 100%. But if anything, I identify with Paul's statement when he stated that he was the foremost sinner. So our text comes from Acts chapter 20, and we're going to read a few verses. And the first thing that Paul states or reacts to is what happened in the past. So Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 21. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. When I came to Shady Shores in 2003, this church was being held together by a Mother's Day Out program, and the church robbed every nickel they could get from that program to help pay the bills. But there were people here that prayed that God would rejuvenate our church. Look around, folks. There's a whole lot more folks here than there was back then. And it hadn't got anything to do except God said he wasn't through with this church. So I want to encourage you to remember some of the positive things that we accomplished. But it wasn't us. It was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he accomplished things through us. Paul offered some personal clues as to what kinds of things we should be looking for. And I hope that as you reflect, you'll be able to see that I tried to be an example of each of these things to you. The first thing from verse 19 that we just read is to serve humbly. 19 says, serving the Lord with all humility. There's an old saying that says, the church will keep you poor and the Lord will keep you humble. The truth of the matter is, God's work done God's way brings God's supply. If we try to do it in our own strength and with our own resources, I've got news for you. It ain't going to work. And I used to tell my first church, when I got there, there was $38,000 in the bank. I said, I will be glad when that $38,000 is gone so that we'll stop worshiping the holy bank account and start worshiping holy God. Now, after the money ran out, I was a little nervous. So you got to be careful what you say. But God was faithful all through those years. The second thing, teach practically, declaring to you anything that was profitable. Now, as those of you who know me well know that I am neither a theologian nor the son of a theologian. I hope I live long enough to do your funeral. That's all I can say. I can read and understand the deep truths of the Bible, but my focus has always been on how I can apply this to my life and the lives of the people who are our church. I have never had anyone come to me and say, Pastor, if you could explain the significance of the patripassionism in Paul's epistle, I would consider becoming a Christian. Does anybody know what the patripassionism? I don't really know either, you know, but it sounded like something that I ought to know. The third thing was to preach faithfully, solemnly testifying, verse 21, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. I will tell you that the trend today in churches is to give you some watered down feel good statement like live your best life instead of preaching the unadulterated truth of Scripture. If you buy into that joke in Houston, Joel Osteen, the prosperity gospel is no gospel at all. You can't go to his church and find out how to get saved. And that being the case, I'll tell you, I don't listen to him. And you shouldn't either. Now, from there we go to the present. Acts 20, verses 22 through 27. And now, behold, bound in spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I did not shirk from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. As we look at today, we're challenged with change. And the older I get, the harder it is to change. I have reached that age where I am set in my ways, and God help anyone. You know, Patty said if I ever died, she'd not marry another one, because and if I had to be retrained again, it'd kill me. But anyway, that's why, often part of why we need change. Some have asked Patty and I, why now? Why are you leaving now? Our answer has always been the same, because that is what we believe God wants from us. What more can the Lord ask of you and I than that we are willing to say yes when He calls? I learned a long time ago that what God asks and expects immediate obedience to His call. So as we face our present circumstance, let these words from Paul be our guide. The first thing he said was run by faith. Verse 22, and now behold, bound in spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. One of the greatest statements I've ever heard about faith was written by Patrick Owen in a little bit of verse called From the Learning Tree, Leaning Tree. He said, when you come to the edge of all the light you have and take that first step into the darkness, you have to believe one of two things. Either God will have another step there and will uphold you in His mighty arms, or He will teach you to fly. That's faith, not knowing what the outcome will be. Now, he also said, run for Christ, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself. I gotta tell you, if you want to be comfortable, don't become a Christian. You can't be a Christian and be comfortable if you are walking with the Lord. You know why? Because Satan doesn't like Christians, and he will use Christians to hurt other Christians. I tell people all the time, if you haven't been hurt in church, you don't come enough. That's all there is to it. He will use each of us to wound someone else, in spite of the fact that that's not the way we want to be. But there's not one person here that can say that they've never wounded someone else. Can't say it in your family. You know, I tell people that next July we'll be married 49 years, and in all that time we have never had an argument. We have had some discussions that the neighbors three blocks over could hear, but we've never had a fight. And then the last thing he says from verse 24, and run for the finish, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus. Sometimes it's not easy to stand up and express God's word. Sometimes it can be kind of harsh. But if I'm going to be true to anything, I'm going to be true to the Lord and to His word. And if you get mad at me, I got news for you. Don't confront me. Ask my boss about it, because he's the one that led me to say it from his word. So now let's go to the future. Some of you are hoping that the future is just right around the corner and he's going to be through. Verses 28 through 35. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So what's ahead? What's going to happen after I leave? Well, Paul offers a mixed bag of views on the future. He pointed out that some negative things were going to happen. People would try to divide, destroy, or deceive the church. And his challenge was simple, be ready. He didn't say if it comes. He said when it comes. While I'm not predicting some hostile takeover of Shady Shores Baptist Church when I leave, I do know that Satan is our enemy. He's the enemy of God. And therefore, he's the enemy of the church. Because of all that, he will work overtime to try to destroy this church in this period of transition. Don't let him. You have the power of Almighty God on your side, and you can be victorious if you stay focused on what he has called this church, first of all, to be, and second of all, to do. Try to run this church based on your own reason, and you will bring about its destruction. My last church found that out the hard way. 150-year-old church was destroyed by people who cared more about being in charge and running the show than they did about listening to the Holy Spirit. I've told people, and you can find it on my Facebook page, after 6 years and four bypasses, they invited me to leave and I took them up on it. But that had to happen to me in order to come to Shady Shores Baptist Church. Y'all have heard me say before, I used to drive by here when Mike Flanagan was pastor. And I knew Mike, and I would drive down this way, and I'd think, bless Mike's heart, he's got a pastor, that little bitty church. Why, my church, we built a 1.2 million sanctuary. Do you know what happened? They killed it. And another congregation took it over. And there is no Cooper Creek Baptist Church anymore. It's disbanded. 150 years. Because people took their eyes off God and put it on their own thoughts and ideas. Let me just remind you, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overpower it. He said, my church. It's not your church, it's his church. And he's the one that builds it, not us. Three practical words of advice for the future. First of all, build up others in Christ. Verse 32 says, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. In 1992, Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby and Claude King was published. And somebody said, you ought to take a look at that. I started facilitating that in 1992, as soon as it was available. I have done that ever since. My good friend, Dick Webb, told me about 10 years ago, Bob, I know you've facilitated this, but you need to go back through the study yourself, because they've added some testimonies and stuff like that by people like Lonnie Riley. Some of you remember when Lonnie came here. Claude King, who has actually been in our church and taught over in our fellowship hall. And you know what? In a way that had never happened before, God revolutionized my life and my ministry. And I learned that I have absolutely no business trying to make plans for God. I need to find out what God's doing and then try to get in on it. And the focus of this church changed. We didn't worship the Holy Bank account. Oh yeah, God blessed us, you know, we paid off the building, this building, wasn't it, that still had money against it. And one day we looked up and said, that little bit of foyer, not the bigger part back there, but the little bit right here wasn't big enough for us to have people turn around and visit with each other. So we said, well, let's just jump out and do that. We didn't have a plan. We didn't have any money. We just did it. And $25,000 paid for it. It was paid for when we finished it. A few years later, I said, you know what? Let's go on the other side. That worked out so well. And unfortunately, the members of this church paid attention to what I said, and they said, Brother Bob, that's not big enough. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let's build a building over here, 2,000 square feet. You know what they said? That's not big enough. You want to talk about kicking me off the ledge? I was nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. We jumped out here. We had a death in our church family, and some of the money for that was donated to the church, but it sure wasn't enough to build that building over there. $250,000. And that building was paid for when we finished. I'll tell you, it wasn't what we did or we had. We didn't have the money to do that, but God did. And I think I mentioned last week that I asked Teresa Crawford, who was our treasurer back then, how much money do we need to finish this building over here? She said, Bob, we need $30,000. I came to the pulpit that next Sunday. I said, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we've got all the money that we need to finish that building. The bad news is it's still in your pockets. And that next Thursday, she called me and she said, Brother Bob, you're not going to believe this, but I'm looking at a check for $30,000. Have no idea who did that. None whatsoever. I don't know what y'all give. What? Oh, that's right. Thanks, Ed. I wasn't written for that. That's right. It's not our money. It's his. So God has done some stuff here, and it's not us. The next thing is build together for Christ. Verse 35, and everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. Folks, God did not save you to sit, soak, and sour. He saved you to serve. Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for everyone. And that's what we should be doing, is expending everything we've got in order to follow His will. Then build like Christ. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. Well, we learned that, didn't we? When we stopped operating out of our own pockets and started operating out of God's pockets, God could do some amazing things. If you had told me in 2003 when I got here that we would be sending people to Ecuador, I would have said, you're nuts. We've already sent a group. We're sending another group in February. Carlos, is that? We've sent people across America to go to churches and to facilitate Experiencing God weekends. This little church right here. And you know what the most amazing thing is? We take people with us who can't afford to go, but people here say, I'll give the money so they can go. I can't physically go. And you know what all of our partners say when we get out there and tell them that our church paid our way? They said, you have got to be kidding me. Our church doesn't do that. Well, guess what? We're not trying to be any other church. I hear people say, well, other churches don't do this. Amen. That's not an indictment. That's an accolade. Because we determined that we would not be like every other church. I'll tell you, you look at the list of staff members here, that doesn't make any sense. Not for a church this size, but folks, we didn't choose to live like other churches. We chose to live and let the Holy Spirit run our church. Now, the final word. I know you preachers lie and say, well, I just have one more thing to say. 30 minutes later, he's through. Acts 20, 36 through 38. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they began to weep aloud and embrace Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they were accompanying him to the ship. Folks, it's okay to be sad. I think Paul understood and expected that. But the time has come for you as a church to lead Patty and I to the ship on which God has booked us passage. As Paul willingly set sail for Jerusalem, we are going to obediently follow God's course for us to Lubbock. And while I don't have any prophetic words about whether we will ever see each other again, I do know this. We both need to keep our eyes fixed on Christ and what he has called us to do. I was going to talk about Gilda Radner. I think I'll skip her. Seemed important at the time, but you never know where my stuff's going to come from, Jim. I The last part of verse 38 says, and they were accompanying him to the ship. My Aunt Eloise said that when my Uncle Frank died, she was going to drive the hearse to the cemetery because she wanted to make sure that he got planted. Truth. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Mike, you remember? Yeah, Eloise said that. She wasn't going to take any chances. Well, I'm reminded of the story of the guy who called 911 and he said, I just shot my friend. What do I do? And the 911 operator said, well, make sure he's dead. She heard bam, bam, bam. He got back on the phone. Okay, now what? So some of you are here to ensure that I am truly leaving. You've been maybe waiting for this day to come. Well, this may not be the perfect ending that any of us imagined or desired, but with God's help, I know that we can make the best of it. With faith in Christ, we don't need to know what's going to happen. We simply need to follow in his steps and remember, whatever God calls you to do, he will empower you to accomplish. When God's in control, we don't have to know what the next step is. If we know what the next step is, God isn't in control. That's all there is to it. Let's pray. Father, once again, we come to you and we praise your name for how you have led us through these years. Lord, we've seen people come to faith in Christ. We have seen things happen in a church like we have never seen in any other church before. We have people come in the door and say, I felt the love when I walked in the door. That's not us, Lord. That's all you. And because you are in control, we are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think when we turn it over to you. Thank you, Father, for being a good God and walking with us step by step. Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name.